What if I told you that the scariest takedown attempt of Trump isn't going to come from the Democrats? Instead, it will come from his number two guy, his vice president, the cat-hating man himself, J.D. Vance. Why would I say this? Well, if past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior, then we're in store for some wild shenanigans after Inauguration Day. But first, why would Trump's own vice president want to sack him? Well, Vance was an original member of the Never Trump crowd. Everyone, I need you to put your Kool-Aid down and don't drink all of it just yet. Think back to a few years ago. He hated Trump. He's never really given an explanation as to why he's on his side now. He dodges the question and just acts like he changed his mind. But Trump is one of the most polarizing figures in American history. Everyone has an opinion on him, and if you're going from hating to loving the man, then I'm going to need an answer. When Vance ran for Senate in Ohio, though, that's when he suddenly decided that being MAGA in a MAGA state was beneficial and necessary to win. So that's what he did. He started virtue signaling that he liked Trump and would basically be the Buckeye Trump. Remember when Vance ran down to East Palestine after the train derailment? He prissed for the camera. He wanted to show what a doofus Biden was and get some free PR. And then what did he do? Have you heard a murmur about it? Nope. He moved on from it. Ohioans dying from dioxin isn't as important as trying to get yourself the VP role. At best, J.D. Vance has no critical thinking skills, no discernment, and no intelligence. You have to know what to do and why. But Vance can't seem to do that. We're not electing a dog catcher here. We're electing senators, and now a vice president. His leadership is flaky, and it moves with the wind. If everyone did what Vance said to do in 2016, we would have never had Trump as our president. Not the first time, and not the second time. Vance himself said that he was going to vote for Evan McMullen, a former CIA operations officer who was an independent candidate in the 2016 presidential election. If we all didn't vote for Trump, like Vance wanted us to, then Vance wouldn't even be the VP-elect right now. We would have had Hillary Clinton for the last 8 years. Think of that. Think of what life would have been like under Hillary Clinton for 8 years. That's the world that Vance was comfortable selling to Americans by chanting Never Trump all the time. Even worse, he doesn't stand by his words. If he was a Never Trump guy, then he should still be one. That's fine. He's entitled to his opinion. He is allowed to change his mind. I get that. But he shouldn't expect everyone to forget his words and actions either. He doesn't deserve to have any role in the Trump administration for merely saying what he said several years ago. He didn't stick to it. Whenever he says something now, how can we believe it? He doesn't stick to anything at all ever. Either because he didn't mean it then or he doesn't mean it now. When you're dealing with unprincipled people who say things for attention, how do you ever know what they mean or what they want? How can we ever believe that his words have any meaning at all? They might just change again randomly one day. And hating Trump one day and liking him the next is too extreme. I don't need someone in the White House who vacillates that much. Americans need someone who will do as they say. If not, whatever he said on the campaign trail is just rhetoric used to manipulate voters. Now, Vance says that his past opinions of Trump shouldn't be held against him. Well, then what should I hold against him? I can't use his own words, his own opinions, his own actions. Then how do we hold anybody accountable? Or does he get to do whatever he wants and we must blindly submit? I now present to you an abridged list of Vance's Trump-hating comments. Now remember, this is a brief recap. And it goes back to just 2016, which is less than 8 years ago. So it's not like I'm going back 30 years and pulling something out of context he said in middle school. Number one, he called Trump America's Hitler. Vance wrote that during the 2016 election, saying that, quote, he went back and forth between thinking Trump is a cynical asshole like Nixon who wouldn't be that bad, or that he's America's Hitler. He also texted this Hitler sentiment to Democratic Georgia State Representative Josh McLaurin, his old college roommate. Number two, Vance tweeted that Trump is, quote, reprehensible. After Vance decided to run for Senate in Ohio, Vance started deleting a bunch of social media posts. One of those was from the 2016 election, where he called Trump reprehensible because of his rhetoric towards immigrants and Muslims. Number three, after Trump's infamous grab him by the pussy comment surfaced, Vance warned Christians that, quote, everyone is watching when we apologize for this man. He also liked social media posts that criticized Trump's behavior towards women, including one accusing Trump of committing serial sexual assault. I don't know about you, but if I think someone's a rapist, I pretty much never want anything to do with them ever again. I definitely don't want to be their number two guy. Number four, Vance compared Trump to the opioid crisis. Vance wrote in a 2016 essay in The Atlantic, quote, Trump's promises are the needle in America's collective vein. He said that Trump voters would just want a quick high and that it would be the antithesis of real medicine. He went on to say that, quote, there is no self-reflection in the midst of a false euphoria. Trump is cultural heroin. He makes some feel better for a bit, but he cannot fix what ails them, and one day they'll realize it. Number five, Vance said Trump was a failure. In a Twitter message, Vance wrote, quote, Trump has just so thoroughly failed to deliver on his economic populism. Number six, Vance said Trump would lose in 2020. He never indicated it was stolen. Before the 2020 election, Vance said, quote, I think Trump will probably lose. Since then, Vance deflected all questions about the election being stolen, even while he was running for Senate in 2022. However, that all changed when he became the VP candidate for Trump. Now, of course, he says that the election was stolen. Number seven, Vance despised Trump so much that he turned down a job from him in his first term. Vance said in a Twitter message that he, quote, turned down my appointment from the emperor. Now, those were just seven examples. But as you can tell, the only thing Vance changes more than his religion is his political opinions. So, okay, let's say Vance wants to sack Trump. How would he actually do this? Well, there's two major ways. First, the 25th Amendment. This is the sexy version. Vance would get the cabinet to remove the president by invoking the 25th. He might say he's crazy or cognitively impaired. We just watch as Democrats most likely threaten Biden with the 25th Amendment to get him to drop out of the election. Who's to say Republicans won't do this to President Trump come January 20th? The political class isn't too creative or clever. They just copy and paste. It's all one team anyway. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows for the vice president, along with the majority of the cabinet secretaries, to declare that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of the office. The vice president, which would be J.D. Vance, would take over immediately. If President Trump were to contest this declaration, Congress would have to convene within 48 hours. Two-thirds of both the House and the Senate would have to agree that President Trump is unable to perform his duties. And just like that, you go from having President Trump to having President Vance. And I don't know if too many people want that. And just in case you haven't noticed, remember how the media started saying Trump was losing it cognitively right after conservatives started saying Biden was impaired? You see, all the cabinet has to do is just kind of run with those accusations. So how would Vance go about this? Well, maybe he'll use some of Trump's new friends that used to be foes, such as Tulsi Gabbard. She called Trump Saudi Arabia's bitch on Twitter a few years ago. She also has a hard time knowing what she thinks, just like Vance. She fully endorsed Biden in 2020, yet just 2 years later, she was already comparing Biden to Hitler while campaigning for Republican Senate candidate Don Bolduc. In 2023, Gabbard continued to compare Biden to Hitler, this time while being interviewed by Jesse Waters. She said the party's focus on diversity was similar to the, quote, geneticist core principles embodied by Nazism and Adolf Hitler. After Biden dropped out of the race this summer, Gabbard then applied her criticisms towards Kamala Harris, saying that her administration would, quote, continue their efforts to engulf the world in war and taking away our liberty. How can someone expect anybody to listen to their opinions or expect that they deserve a role in the new president's administration when the guy that they endorsed and voted for 4 years ago they call Hitler? Do you have no discernment? Next up in clown world, we have RFK Jr. In text messages obtained by The New Yorker in the months leading up to the 2024 election, Kennedy called Trump, quote, a terrible human being, and said the former president was, quote, probably a sociopath. And that was while he was attending the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. This past April, Trump called Kennedy a radical left lunatic and said people who voted for them would be wasting their vote. Kennedy referred to Trump's comments as unhinged and, quote, barely coherent barrage of wild and inaccurate claims, while calling Trump frightened to debate him. Earlier this year as well, Kennedy criticized Trump for promising to drain the swamp, saying that instead he, quote, filled his administration with swamp creatures and, quote, promised to protect our rights and then torpedoed the Constitution. In addition to that, he claimed Trump, quote, ran up the biggest debt in U.S. history during his presidency. That is true, but still a funny thing to say about somebody and then kiss their ass a few months later for a job. If we go back to 2023, Kennedy said, quote, under no circumstances would he join Trump on a presidential ticket, as their positions on issues and philosophies, quote, could not be further apart. I repeat, could not be further apart. If we go back to 2018, we'll see that Kennedy called out Trump's presidential policies, saying that they did not, quote, actively encourage democracy abroad, and instead reached, quote, some of the most tyrannical governments in the world, adding that it was, quote, a discredit to democracy. And let's not forget that Kennedy has called Trump a bully. Sure, we don't know where they'll land in the new administration. Maybe RFK, maybe Tulsi won't be in an official cabinet post. Maybe they will. But what we do know is that they'll be in the administration somewhere. And whether they can vote to invoke the 25th or not, they will have influence. Influence that they can use and star power that they can use to influence those in the cabinet to vote Trump out. And let's just face it, I don't think we're going to get a great group of cabinet members from Trump anyway. We know he is a complete idiot when it comes to picking people. I mean, we remember the first administration, how many people he hired and fired because he couldn't see through them and what clowns they were, what phonies they were. And his own son, Don Jr., admitted as much on television a few months ago. So let's just take a look and examine Trump's first pick for the White House, which is Susie Wiles, who will be chief of staff. She'll run the day-to-day, craft the new team, and influence the transition. This means she'll have a lot of influence over who Trump picks to be in his administration. Her voice will be the one that he hears. She is a self-described moderate Republican, former donor to Jeb Bush, and worst of all, a former lobbyist for Big Pharma. She worked at Mercury LLC, a company that represented businesses like Pfizer and Gilead, as well as Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and the UN Foundation. Hey, MAGA, Gavi is that Bill Gates-backed foundation, and the UN is, well, the UN. Use those tinfoil hats you have and recognize who she is and what she is. Susie Wiles is not an outsider. She's not the deep state remover that MAGA thinks they're getting. She's called the Ice Maiden by Trump himself, and I bet someone like her would be more than willing and capable of helping Vance remove Trump from office. Trump calls her Ice Maiden. I just call her the Deep State Diva. The second way Vance might try to get rid of Trump is by framing him for something that would lead to an impeachment. The House already impeached Trump twice. Granted, the House is GOP-controlled for now, but that could change in 2 years. Or Vance might just frame him for something so horrific that virtue-signaling politicians will all fall in line and impeach him. Who knows what these clowns will come up with? Anybody listening to this that says you're being too hard on Vance, hey, we got to look at their actions, not just what they say that makes you feel warm and fuzzy. Let's not forget Vance's deep ties to the surveillance state. He's also the puppet of Peter Thiel, a Silicon Valley billionaire who crafted Vance's entire political career. Then we got Vance's sidekick, Vivek Ramaswamy, who popped up out of nowhere. He voted in 2004 and then not again until 2020. This man probably has no idea what's going on in politics. He just thinks it's fun to do because he's got a lot of money. And Vivek also is a lover boy of billionaire Peter Thiel, just like Vance. Essentially a nobody who met the right guy in Harvard. Without Peter Thiel, we wouldn't know Vance or Ramaswamy. All these clowns, Vance, Tulsi, Kennedy, Wiles, they are turncoats. They're flip-floppers. Where they land is wherever the wind is blowing. They are double agents. And let's not forget the inherent dangers of double agents. Their threat comes from their ability to deceive and manipulate both sides. Tulsi deceived Democrats. RFK deceived independents and vaccine skeptics. Vance deceived Never Trumpers. And Wiles is deceiving MAGA as being something she's not. Then there's grifters like Vivek, who will do whatever sugar daddy Peter Thiel tells them to do. There's always the option that Trump is threatened with the 25th Amendment unless he does as he's told, as the establishment wants. And that's a way to make Trump abandon MAGA on his own accord. Let's hope Trump can pick some people in his cabinet that aren't turncoats and deep state losers. Since impeachment failed twice before, the 25th Amendment is probably the most likely path to get rid of Trump. You see, what happened with the Republican Party is it fractured in 2016. They hated Trump so much, but he won. And everybody realized, oh, this is the way the GP is going. So if you can't beat him, join him. Trump is a force of nature. Why fight it when you can co-opt it? Watching the Republican Party and Trump right now is kind of like when you're driving and you hydroplane or you start sliding on ice. To regain control, you have to steer in the direction it's going before guiding it to where you want the car to actually be. That's what Vance and all these other clowns and future clowns will be doing after January 20th. The irony of all this for Trump, a man famous for publicly firing people, is that he will likely be facing being fired by his number two guy. The irony is beyond poetic. Thanks for listening to Overnight Opinions. Be sure to tune in next Sunday night for an all-new episode. In the meantime, if you're looking to enlighten yourself with some controversial topics, check out my interview with Celeste Solemn, who talks about how the global elite are planning to kill you. Or check out my interview with Dustin Nemos, who talks about how Trump is the Antichrist and how Trump staged his assassination attempt. Those interviews are so controversial, you'll only find them on BitChute, Rumble, and Brighteon. If you want to learn more about the border crisis, check out my interview with Christy Hutcherson from Women Fighting for America. That interview is available on YouTube.